And welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. Phil Conlon will be away today. We, of course, expect him back soon. We're going to be talking about a new development in Rwanda. And we're going to be, a website of solidarity for democracy in Haiti has a title, Descent into Hell, Descent to Hell. That is, another leading member, this would be the national coordinator of the FDU in Kingi, that party led by Victoire Ingabire, has been stabbed to death in a public place in the middle of the day, Shiogwe Health Center in Rwanda. And this is just yet another sort of tragic moment where we regard it as especially tragic in that there is little or no attention paid to this matter in the media here, which is has headlines all the time about pro-democracy this and pro-democracy that, but doesn't report on the murder of people fighting for democracy in Rwanda. We're going to talk in the second half about Haiti, because there are demonstrations today ongoing in Montreal, actually at the headquarters of the Campaign for Justin Trudeau, Haitians and others in sympathy, in solidarity with them, because are protesting Canada's role in propping up the government, present government of Haiti, which is facing massive demonstrations, once again missing from the headlines in the Canadian media. Joining us now, I believe, from London, is Justin Bahunga. Are you there, sir?
I am, sir.
Justin, thank you very much for joining us. You are, I should get your title right. I always call you the spokesperson. I think you're the vice president.
I'm the vice president of FDU.
Of the FDU.
Yes.
Well, you have terrible news. This is not surprising, but it is horrible. That's one of your national coordinator in Rwanda, working on behalf of Victoire Ingabire, the leader of the FDU, stabbed in a public place. I gather in broad daylight. Can you tell us who he is and what happened?
Thank you so much, Phil. Thank you for having me and give me the opportunity to talk about this tragic event. And it was in the evening of the 23rd of September 2019, mm-hmm. that our coordinator for Rwanda, Sidio Dusabo Muremyi, was stabbed to death in a canteen at the health center, mm-hmm. while people were there, patients, doctors, including people in charge of security. The drug came in on a bicycle, two people, jumped off the motorbike, stabbed him several times, left him for dead, and that was it.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is just a shock. I have to say, there are people, and what we're trying to address is, why is there this silence, particularly from Western capitals where they are so fond of the president of that country? We're always told, it's a very clean, well-run, well-policed country where everybody feels you can be out at night and be safe. But he was out in the middle of the day, and he wasn't safe.
Yes, you're absolutely right that it is quite shocking that the Western countries have made the president of Rwanda a darling while he does carry out massive human rights violations. And not only does that, but also is able to say proudly that anyone who threatens the state, and the state in the ruling party, is going to be shot in broad daylight. Mm-hmm. And somebody publicly says that he's responsible, or his government responsible, for the assassination of a former minister, whom I'm sure you know, Setsen Dashonga, in a foreign country.
Yes.
And also the former chief spy, that he said that anyone who betrays the country, and the country actually means is the party, has to bear consequences. But still, with that, those statements, which are unheard of many other people, and I can remind you of one case of an alleged poisoning of a Russian former spy in London. It caused a tolly of diplomatic rows. This
yes.
came around for Rwanda. There's no problem. It seems to be there's no problem.
Yes. It seems to echo colonial thought that this is the outback or place where the Africans are, and they don't get the same. They're not seen as equal, whether they hold office or generals. Like in the case of General Yamwasa in South Africa, three attempts on his life, and then there was Colonel Patrick Karegeya, a former high-ranking, as you referred to him. He's throttled to death in a five-star hotel, and relations go on as previous.
Yes, and an African court ruled actually the people who killed Colonel Karegeya have the connections to the Rwandan government, which is a total violation of the sovereignty of the Republic of South Africa. Mm-hmm. And indeed, you made a point, again, how do we speak of universal declaration of human rights when someone or a system or a regime that bluntly violates human rights is given such a high esteem? You know, Freedom House Report 2018 has considered Rwanda as a no-free country, but also in terms of scoring on human rights, it's got 23%.
Mm-hmm.
And well, of course, where they say that Rwanda is prepared to happen, so on, I was checking, and the World Happiness Index 2018 makes Rwanda number 152 out of 156 countries. Burundi is number 145. Uganda is 136. And the Kenya number 151,
152. Uh-huh.
And yet they say this is, well, what a miracle, economic miracle in Rwanda. And yet, in terms of happiness, it comes number 152. Only four countries are behind, private countries, or four,
mm-hmm.
come after Rwanda.
Someone should explain that. But of course, these facts are, again, not widely known. But this story, as far as I know, it has not actually played at all that I'm aware of. There have been previous, as a matter of fact, today I received a message that Human Rights Watch was talking about the disappeared journalist another member of the FDU, Eugene Dera Mana.
Yes.
Now that was in July, and it's only recorded, but there is no particular reaction. And I got to raise this point. There's going to be scheduled to be a Commonwealth meeting in Kigali, Rwanda, in June 2020,
exactly.
Not that far away, I believe the Queen is expected to come. And here people are being disappeared and killed in public.
Yes, Phil. Actually, I was saying, you know, in July, we had Eugene Ndereyimana, the 5th of July, who was disappeared on his way to meet friends. In March 2019, we had Mutuimana Selmo, the personal assistant to Ingabire, who was murdered. And we had the first vice president who disappeared on the 8th of October 2018 from a maximum security prison. Mm-hmm. We had Jean Damascene Habarugira, who was killed and he almost his head cut off in May 2017. In March 2016, we had Mrs. Iragena Irumine, who was actually disappeared on her way to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so with all this, we still have Rwanda as a venue for the Commonwealth. And mind you, Zimbabwe was suspended from the Commonwealth, I think, in 2003, because apparently, because of violence during the election time.
Because of election violence, Zimbabwe was expelled from the Commonwealth.
Of the Commonwealth.
And in Rwanda, there is no election. Except for the president and his friends, you have Victoire Ingabire, an outstanding person who had nothing to do with the events of 1994, who had returned to test whether or not Rwanda was a democratic country by putting her name forth to become president. She went to prison for 8 years. But the Commonwealth think... They don't mind that.
No. What's very funny is that she was sentenced to 8 years in the lower court. When she appeared to the high court, it was almost doubled. It went to 15.
Mm-hmm.
So can imagine you appeal to the high court when she was only 8 years,
uh-huh,
and it's almost doubled.
Yes.
Very, 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 very strange of doing things. Yeah. Of course.
And we left out, another young woman who wished to be a candidate, that was Diane Wigara, whose family is a part of the Rwanda Patriotic Front, which is Kagame's organization. I don't suppose they're still members, but they were certainly part and parcel of the coming to power of the RPF. She was put in prison, she and her mother, for 1 year.
Yes.
And is basically under house arrest.
Exactly. So again, to remind you, a little bit of a reminder, that when Ingabire appealed to the African Court for Human People's Rights, the charges overruled by the court, African Court, and asked Rwanda to pay reparations within 6 months. Mm-hmm. Now it is 1 year has passed, and nothing has been done. And as you were saying, I think when you spoke about the Diane 2017, what you are seeing that the system is no longer have any discrimination against anyone. It was the first Hutus, then secondly, it was people who came with him, and Nyamwasa and his former colleagues from outside of Rwanda, who the Tanish. But now you may have heard also or read an open letter of Diane Rwigara appealing to President Kagame to protect the survivors of genocide. And she listed more than 30 survivors of genocide who have been killed since 2003. So now what you are seeing is no longer looking at the age, because in the time, in the first place, they were Hutus by a certain age, where they were thought to be, accused of being a planner, a genocider, or having an ideology. But when you look at the people who are being arrested and killed within the FPU, they are all young people. who would never have been part and of anything that happened in 1994. In terms of ethnicity also, you defined it is Hutu and Tutsi. As I was saying, there is no longer the Hutu are persecuted, but it is because across ethnicity. Mm-hmm. It's across age now.
Yes.
And so, and the other factor is no longer people who are in a political party, but people who are not in political, but who try to say anything in a critic in a criticism of the government.
Yes.
And by the way, let me just remind you of one thing, that of political party of democracy, there is Article 194, the Penal Code, which is called to tarnish propaganda or any information that tarnishes the image of the country abroad, not the country, but of the government.
Mm-hmm.
Because government is not the country, the government abroad. It is an offense. So now, practically, since I'm criticizing the government of Rwanda abroad, I'm committing an offense of tarnishing the image of the government in Rwanda. Then there's Article 204, which is to incite the population to uprise against the government. So by criticizing the government, is said to be inciting the population to hate and to rise against the government. It is, again, that's another offense. So now how it become a, how do you have an opposition in a country when you cannot criticize government policies?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, as I'm wondering, how does the Commonwealth hold a summit in a country that is so undemocratic, that actually violates the real values of the Commonwealth? That's what I was saying, actually.
Yes.
That holding that Commonwealth Summit in Rwanda will make the Commonwealth Charter just hot air.
Mm-hmm.
And some have even suggested that the Charter of Commonwealth Values will be buried in paper basket in Rwanda. It's such a contradiction. Remember, Sri Lanka was also expelled because of the violation of human rights. Pakistan was suspended twice. And I said South Zimbabwe. It has never been at the level of repression in Rwanda during elections. Has gone far beyond what has happened to Zimbabwe.
No, they actually, in Zimbabwe, there is an active opposition. They are members of the parliament. They're very vocal. They have a media. No such thing exists in Rwanda.
No. So again, Taylor, thank you for this opportunity, because for me it is not just this young man who has been killed again. He has left a widow and two very young kids, and all those 10. You know, we have got 10 people in jail now, and all of them are young people, young families, and that's the problem now,
mm-hmm.
of having young people now being sent to jail, and that's what you are creating in the country about that future of the country,
mm-hmm.
and so therefore is really important that people understand that it's a complacency of the international community is creating the same conditions that led to the tragedy we have had in Rwanda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's silence in the face of this kind of conduct is, of course, means that the perpetrators are aware they can do what they want. We're speaking to Justin Bahunga, second vice president of the FDU Inkingi. By the way, there is a website, FDU-Inkingi. I urge you to go to that site to get more information. Justin, Rwanda is having some relations with its neighbors. I wonder if this is impacting it. the borders have been were closed. I want to ask you, are they still closed with Uganda? There's a border with Congo, which is a very troubling situation. It has always been, and there, of course, the relations with Burundi. So is this somehow a factor, or can you tell us also, are the borders still closed, and why are they closed?
Yes, again, in terms of one of the values of the Commonwealth is maintaining peace and security among the neighbors in the region or across the world. You know as well as I do that Rwanda was suspended in 2012 because it was supporting logistically the murderous M23 in the Congo. But of course, when it said it had pulled them out, the aid was given again. But we know today, it was reported, that this same M23 have been recycled and sent his Rwandan troops to go over again to look after what they call to hunt down what they are to be negative forces. So they are there.
Mm-hmm.
In Burundi, the UN report that Rwanda has been recruiting, including child soldiers, young people to go to join labor groups to fight the government of Burundi.
Uh-huh.
Uganda. Now, Uganda has been told Rwanda because of sending people to go to shoot down or to kidnap refugees going into Uganda. Mm-hmm. Now, the border with Uganda, Rwanda has closed the border. No Rwandan is allowed to go into Uganda. And yet, this year, the president of Rwanda is the chair of this African community. And the Charter of Africa, of East African Community allows free movement of people and goods. So the chair, who is the president, at the same time, they have closed the border with Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, people have been shot. One have been shot trying to cross Uganda to look for food. Or because they found they were smuggling a few things, and then they were shot.
Mm-hmm.
So in Burundi, again, the border is closed. Mm-hmm. Tanzania, I'm not very sure, but you know at one time when former President Kikwete tried to say that he wanted Kagame to have dialogue with the FDLR, he warned him that he could be struck any time if you continue that in that way.
Yeah.
So all the neighbors have got a problem almost latent or open with Rwanda. And yet, again, it is violates one of the core values of the Commonwealth.
Uh-huh.
In terms of human rights, as I told you, in terms of human rights, Rwanda scores 23%.
Mm-hmm.
And it's considered a no-free country. In no-free country, by Freedom House.
Uh-huh.
So it is so surprising, and you don't know what is special about Rwanda, mm-hmm. that rules change when it comes to Rwanda. And I can quote you also the report of the United States of America, State Department, about Rwanda. And I just quote a few things, some of the cases. Uh-huh. Arbitrary, unlawful killing, torture, harassment, arrest, abuse of political opponents, human rights advocates, and individuals perceived to pose a threat to government control and the social order. Security forces disregarded for the rule of law and the restrictions on civil liberties.
Mm-hmm.
Again, concluding, because on the existence of registration of operations of political parties, denying citizens the ability to change their government through free and fair elections. This is a report by U.S. State Department.
Yeah. If only they would act on their own reports.
So it is very clear in terms of human rights that it doesn't meet the standard.
Yeah.
And the point you've made, Taylor, I think, is very important, is impunity.
Yeah.
And impunity has been the problem that has caused all the chaos in the Central African, in the Great Lakes region. Mm-hmm. And when you look at how, what is happening now, it has been only the, now someone being killed in a public place with a knife is something which is showing how far the system can go. Yes. without any hindrance.
Yes, it may perhaps also show how frightened they are of the people of Rwanda.
Actually, I think it's right. You are right. Actually, it's very true, Taylor, that if you look at the system, the dictatorships, it also shows the level of fear of losing power by the regime.
Yes. Well, Justin Bahunga, thank you very much for this summary. It is a great tragedy. We're going to be back in touch with you because that Commonwealth meeting will get closer and closer, and it seems like a very good backdrop to be talking about this subject. We thank you very much.
I would very much, actually, next time I'd like to talk about, actually, it is, I think, it will be a kind of political bonanza. But also a business for Nanza for the ruling party, mm-hmm. in Rwanda. So probably I would be very happy to come and talk about it again, specifically on what it means for this summit to take place in Rwanda.
Okay. We're certainly going to do that. Thank you very, very much.
Well, thank you so much. I wish you a good night.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Night. It is in the afternoon.
Oh, yes. You know my time better than I do. Thank you, Justin.
Yes.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Sure. Justin Bahunga, and he is FDU-Nkingi. Please go to that site, inform yourself. But it is a man has been a party leader, representative of Victoire Ingabire, who has already served 8 years of her life simply because she wanted to run for office. Now one of her assistants has been murdered in broad daylight for all of you who like to claim that it's nice, safe country. It's not safe to speak up.